four tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication. Voices from His Excellent Glory Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 3rd, 2005. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Angelo Rosario from Bronx, New York is the minister on this of this service.
God has a better body. I'm telling you, I like this body. I'm happy with it. I ain't got no problems with it. God gave it to me, see? But I'm waiting for a new body. A body that is not committed to age. It will never age. A body that will always be filled with health and joy and peace. I can't wait for that. See, that's my hope of glory. I can't wait to get to my mansion. I got a mansion here, but the mansion that I have up there cannot compare with anything that we have down here. That's what you and I have to think about. The gift that God has already given us. But you have someone that is trying to deceive you. He doesn't want you to know the truth. Because he knows that once you know the truth, you have victory over him. He doesn't have dominion over you anymore. He is trying to keep that hidden so that you will not enjoy your earthly life. You see, the Lord is the joy of my salvation. The joy of my salvation gives me peace and security. Because I know in whom I trust. I don't trust in the church. I don't trust in myself. I trust in God. And then he gave me a greater gift. He became my father. A lot of people, it's hard for them to relate and have a relationship with God the Father because they never had a relationship with the earthly Father. So it's hard for them to truly understand the part that the Father should play in this world. A father is a protector, not an abuser. A father is someone that takes care of you, that watches over you, that does not allow anyone or anything to abuse you. He is a protector of a child. He is a protector of the wife. He is the protector of the family. God created him so that he will be the caretaker of the home. That he will be able to provide for that home. For his princes. For that woman that he says that he loves. For those children that God has given him. But there are many times where the enemy crawls right in to the garden. And he walks in there to try to bring destruction. I want you to know that that garden is still here. That garden is your home. And the enemy wants to destroy that home. There are millions of people in this moment that don't realize that the enemy is trying to move into their home. And hold a conversation with the fallen nature of man. So that they may be destroyed. So that they can't love their wives. So that they can't love their children. So that they can't love themselves. Because without God, there is no love. There's carnal love. Animalistic love. But there is no holy agape love. A love that surpasses all human understanding. That tears down the strongholds of Satan. I want you to know that. Because he tries to come into the garden. He tries to sneak in, but I want to open up your eyes. I want you to see him laying on that tree. The tree that the Lord says, do not eat of that forbidden fruit. I want you to see him. And I want you to know that you have the authority to tell him, get out. You have the authority to tell him, I don't want to speak to you. Because anytime you speak to him, he's a good talker. He will sweat you to death. He will even try to use the words that God used and turn them around so that you become a believer in a lie. Because he comes to deceive, to destroy. He's not dead, he's still alive. He's still roaming the world. He is trying to destroy the human race. I want you to know today that you got to talk to him and tell him, you don't rule in my home no more. You don't rule in my life anymore. But I'm going to stop for a little bit. And I'm not going to talk to you. I want to talk to those spirits that are around you. I want to talk to those demons that are trying to get in. And I want to let them know that they have no authority around us. They have no authority in the house of God. I want to tell them in the name of Jesus that they got to go. That they don't belong in our atmosphere. I want to invite and bring in the angels of the Lord to put a hedge around us right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to start feeling the presence of the angels of the living God that come to heal you, that come to set you free, that come to protect you, because the angel of the Lord comes around you. I want you to know the Holy Spirit of the living God is here to protect us, but those spirits gotta go. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those spirits that come to destroy, to torment, to bring hurt to our lives, to destroy our pattern of thought. Because we got the mind of Christ. So I don't want to talk to you right now for a little bit. I want those spirits to realize that God has given us authority over them. That they cannot take what God has given us. If God gave it to you, don't be afraid, he can't take it. What you got to do is sanctify it. What you got to do is acknowledge that God gave you a body that is yours. See, the Lord, I have a message here written all down and I can't get to it. But that's okay. Because I'm not going to worry about what I think. And what I write is what God wants to say to me and what God wants to say to you. The enemy is always around. You know the story in Job chapter 1. There was a great man of God. This man of God fasted and prayed not only for himself, but for his family. He protected his family with integrity, with dedication to God. He walked in the order of the Lord. But one day there was a spirit called, I don't want to even mention his name, because in heaven they don't even mention his name. I think sometimes we mention his name too much in the church and we give him too much credit. But God has already given us the victory and the power over him. If you don't like someone, you don't even want to talk about that person. Well, I don't like him. I don't want to talk about him. I know that he's there. And if I'm teaching, I'll teach you about what he does and how he disguises himself as an angel of light. To deceive, that's what we spoke about Thursday, remember? To deceive the very elect. He doesn't come to you with a pimp hat. He doesn't come to you with horns. He'll come by you and he'll look just like a holy man. He will come to you talking sweet nothings. He will charm you with gifts. Because men think that the blessings of material things are blessings. And a blessing that could be a curse. You could turn them into a blessing or a curse. The more you have, if you don't know how to use it, the more you want. And it rules your life. And it destroys you. And you can't enjoy it. And no one else could enjoy it. And at the end of your years, who's going to take what you have left behind? What does it matter if I gain the whole world? And at the end, I lose my soul. And I left people hungry. And I left people without hearing the gospel because there wasn't any money to take to the people so they could continue to do the work. Yes, there are abusers in the body of Christ that they abuse the wealth that God gives to work in the body. But who does that? Satan. But Job was a tremendous man of God. I don't think that we have any Jobs around because we have a lot of complainers. Job was always thanking God no matter what happened. Job lost his riches, everything he had. He lost his cattle, he lost his camels, he lost his horses. He almost lost his wife, and he would have probably blessed God. Because his wife told him, why don't you bless God and die? But he lost his children. Bunch of good children. Nice, beautiful children. He used to fast for his children. How many of us fast for our children? And pray for them. He continuously done that. Why? Because he was a man that loved his children. He wanted his children safe. He didn't know if they had committed sin or not. We know that ours do. We see them. But he didn't know. He said, let me fast just in case one of my children has offended God. And he would fast and he would pray. But one day, this fool that walked through the earth went up to the heavens. And the angels were coming in the presence of God. You know the story, right? Alright. So they get in there. I don't think the angels didn't even realize that he was there. Because if the angels would have realized it, they would step away from him. They don't want nothing to do with him because they're having a war with him at this moment too. The heirs are in a battle. The only reason that we are still here in this blessing is because the Holy Spirit is here. And because the warring angels are all around us. And there's a battle going on continuously. But he walked into heaven. And the Lord said, what are you doing here? He says, I come from walking the earth and seeing everything down there. And he didn't say, Satan didn't tell him, I considered your servant Job. He didn't tell him that. God said, have you seen my servant Job? Because God already knew his intentions. That he came in there to ask permission of God, jumped a step ahead. And told him, there is no other man there as holy, as dedicated, as has integrity like Job. And you know what he said, man? Yeah, that's because you have a hedge around him. But I want you to know that the word says that we're hidden in heavenly places. And the devil, when God has a hedge around us, he can't even see us. Because the hedge is so big, so tall, that he can't look over. And there's an army of angels that are camped around those that fear the Lord and defends them. Blessed be God. Let me go a step further. He can't even read your mind. You know why? Because God has put the Holy Spirit around our mind. Not our carnal mind, but the new mind that Jesus has given us because he gave us a new pattern of thought. He gave us the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. If it was the human mind, he could read that and put whatever thoughts he wants in there. But God is our protector. We could only give him legal right. If we give him legal right, then he comes in. But Job lost his family. Lost all his wealth. Lost everything he has. And the enemy looked at him and said, wow, with all that, he still does not curse God. You know what he done? He's a very daring, persistent. He doesn't give up. He took another little trip up to heaven. And he talked to God again. And God says, oh, you see that he's still faithful to me. And that he has integrity. And the enemy says, yeah, but that's because man loves life too much. And you have a hedge around him that I can't touch him. And he looked down and God said, you know what? Go. Touch him. But don't touch his life. In other words, don't touch his soul. You see? He came back down, but I want to hit another point before I hit that. Job, in the midst of the trials and tribulation of losing everything he had, even losing his children, he said, God gave, God took, let the name of the Lord be blessed. Can you say that? In the midst of your trials and tribulations, could you say, God gave, God took, let the name of the Lord be what? Blessed. Now listen to me well. The only one that tries to deceive you so that you will lose the blessing is the enemy. He will tell you that he took your children. You see, but Job knew better. He said, God gave, God took, not Satan. God took. So he knew that his children were alive in the presence of God. Because I will dwell in the presence of the Lord for how long? Forever. And if I'm dwelling somewhere, can I be dead? And God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Ha, watch it now. Okay. Glory to be to God. When you start looking and knowing that word, it don't matter where we come from because we all come from the earth and we're going back to the earth. But my soul is going back to God. And that's the key. Satan can't take my soul because it's been redeemed. When Jesus came, He came to redeem my soul. The soul that sinned will die. Well, my soul don't sin. My flesh may sin once in a while. That's why it's going to die. But my soul has been redeemed. And my soul lives for the glory and honor of God. You want victory? The doors of hell cannot prevail against you. In the world, you will have tribulations. You will have problems. You will have difficulties. But the Lord will never forsake you. And He has overcome this world. You will also overcome. In His name. You see, you cannot give glory to the enemy. He has no authority over you. When he speaks to your mind, you tell him, shut up and get out. Don't you tell that to your wife sometimes? Or don't you tell your husband, speak to the hand. I don't want to hear it. A couple of months back, God gave me a message. And the message was, speak to the hand. The hand with the wounds of Jesus Christ. The hand that were wounded for my transgressions. For my iniquity. Speak to the hand. So when the enemy comes out and speak to the hand, they are the wounds of Jesus, because I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. So the wounds that set me free. Oh, wait. Let me relax here. The wounds that set me free are the ones that are keeping me alive. Because He died so that I might live. He died so I may have victory. He died so I will not feel the enemy. Job and God had a relationship. And in that relationship, God said, you know what? Go touch his body. You see, sometimes you and I, we care too much about this raggedy body. We care too much about it that when we get sick, cancer or diabetes or heart trouble, we fall apart. God wants to heal me. Through His stripes, I am healed. I want to be healed. But if I am not going to be healed in my body, I want to stay healed in my soul. Because my hope of glory is about what's going to come, not what I have now. Because no matter how good I might be, how much I pray, how much I fast, one day I'm going to be one. Can you help me across the street, please? I can't walk. And then all of a sudden, God is going to renew my strength and I'm going to walk a little bit better. Because God renews our strength. God still gives us strength where people should not be walking anymore. Because of the years, God renews their strength. You see some of these young people today walking in the street? They hardly can't walk. They got to give their body over to Christ so that God could renew their bodies. They can't work 45, 50 hours a week. They fall apart. They're always tired. They sleep more than what they work. They can't work. They're always tired. They all have no strength in their legs anymore. Their fingers probably are going to be muscles because all they sit on are little things. There's no exercise. They're going to have muscles on their thumbs. The enemy has played with our health. But as we look at this beautiful, wonderful Word of God, yes, there are demons out there. But they can't come around us. If you get up in the morning and you command your ways unto the Lord and ask God to order your steps, hallelujah, God will order your steps. And you're driving down the street and God says, no, make a right turn because there's a couple of demons down there waiting for you. They have a trap set for you. And you say, why am I going this way? Don't worry about it. Go that way. As long as you're going under the direction of the Spirit, because the Spirit says that He will lead us to all righteousness, and that He will teach us all of the things, and He will lead us the right way. One day I'm trying to drive, and I feel like I don't want to turn. But I got to make that turn. I said, I want to make this turn, but my will, I know if I take the car and go, but there was something holding me back, and I don't take the turn. And I go by and I go down two blocks. And I come back around. I said, man, I would have been there already. And I had to come all the way around 5 or 6 blocks to get there. When I get to the corner, I see a big accident there. I said, wow. Father, bless those that are in the accident. I pray that they're saved. And I pray that they're not dead before they meet Jesus. Why? Because God will order your steps. Job was able to believe that his inner blessing was greater than the outer blessing. He was not worrying about that. And I love what he said because he knew that the devil was after him. The devil's always after us. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Every time you mention him, make sure you say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Don't just mention him like if he was nothing. He's a powerful being. He's an intelligent being. But my God is more powerful, more intelligent. Don't play with him. Don't think that you can mess with him just anyway. The only way that you can overcome him is when you go to God and God gives you authority against him and his principalities. When you go to God, God gives you authority over them. You want to see the authority of God? Go to God in prayer, not complaining. Don't tell God what to do. Ask him how to do it. We're always trying to tell God which way to go and what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Lord, go save my children. I already saved them, son. That's what I sent Jesus there for. I sent Jesus to set them free. You got to learn to do your part. You got to learn to talk right. Not only to them. I'm not talking to you now. Not only to them, but to those demons that are in them. To those demons that have them in bondage. Don't talk to the human individual. Acknowledge the spirit that is in there. And tell them, you know what? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that spirit of sickness that is in you. I'm talking to that spirit of drugs that is in you. I'm not talking to you. They look at you like if you're crazy. But you know what? I'd rather be crazy for God than be crazy for the world. Because I don't know who I'm talking to. I could talk to the human individual. But there is somebody that is living inside of that. They've been invaded. There's a spirit that is living in there that has control over them. Whether it's homosexuality, whether it's drugs, whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication, whether it's lie, whether he's a thief, whether he's a manipulator, whatever it may be, you got to talk to that spirit and you got to tell him, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that spirit that is in you. I'm talking to that religious spirit that is in you. Because there's many religious spirits that are in the church today. They can't love anybody else. They can't give themselves. A true believer will lay his life down for his fellow man. And did not say for his family. It said for his fellow man. Jesus laid his life down. Are you willing? Are you willing? Let me bring it a little closer. Are you willing to lay your life down for your husband? He's a pain in the neck. But God loves him. Are you willing to lay your life down for your wife? Boy, she's like cancer to your bones. But are you willing? Because it ain't her. It is what's in her or what's in him. Are you willing to lay your life down for that child that's disrespecting you all the time? Are you willing to say, I lay my life down, Lord, and I tell that spirit in the name of Jesus, come out of there in Jesus' name, set him loose. If he was in jail, you go bail him out. Well, he's in jail and Jesus paid the price. They're in captivity. Job knew all that. I don't know how he knew because Jesus hadn't come yet. But you know what? Jesus has been around spiritually since the beginning of time. He's always been around. He would appear at strange times. And it didn't matter what condition we were in. You know, God loves us when we are really messed up. He does. He wants to prove himself and show us his love. He wants to prove to us that he will never forsake us and he will never leave us. Me, I want to kill everybody. I want to yank their neck off. But Christ in me wants to be able to lay my life down for them. Why? Because I don't live anymore. But Christ lives in me. Because now I understand that I don't have war against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But you know what makes me happy? I got the power. I have authority. God gave it to me. I don't walk alone. I walk with the Prince of Peace. So I got to have peace within my heart. So I want you just to relax for a couple of minutes because I'm going to talk to those spirits for a little bit. And if you feel something in your life, as I am speaking, I want you to tell that spirit, you don't live here no more. You got to vacate this premise. Because they don't. They're invaders. They go away and then they return. They come back once in a while. They come back to see how you're doing. You know what really bothered me about them? When I read that, they said, I will return to my house. My house? God gave me this house. This is my house. I will let in whoever I want. And the one that I want reigning and living in me is the Holy Spirit of the living God. So when I was reading that and read it for years and kept reading it and praying and holding seminar one day, I said, wait a minute. This guy has nerve. This is my house, not his. He is an invader of my privacy, of my joy. And then he comes in to sleep for a night and he wants to take over. You know how you get those guests that come into your house for a couple of weeks and they don't want to go? But this is what he does. And when I found that out, and that when he comes in, then he's not only going to mess me up, he's going to mess up my wife. He's going to mess up my children. My environment is going to change because he's taking over. And the day that he comes in and he destroys everything, and then he has the nerve. And watch this, you're going to see this in your homes and your family. He comes back with seven more alcoholics to drink in my house. Seven more people to come party. You ever seen a party that comes home and he comes in the house and he tells you that I just brought Tom and John and him. We're going to sit down and watch some television and have a couple of beers. And the wife comes out and she says, but honey, yeah, shut up. This is my house. Now you know that he's talking to that demon. Now you got to realize you're not dealing with a human person. Now you got to first bind who? That alcoholic spirit that made him that way. You got to tell that alcoholic spirit, get out in the name of Jesus. And your husband says, why are you telling me to get out? I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you, honey. I'm not talking to you, darling. I'm talking to that uninvited guest that came in with you. Do you understand? Honey, I love you. You want a bath? I'm talking to that spirit that is in you. I'm telling them, get out. Matter of fact, you can tell them, take your bottle and get out and keep on going. And you, if you open up your spiritual eyes at the moment, you're going to see the first thing that person does in your home, the person you love, he's going to go. And all of a sudden, something's going to, and he's going to go, oh, honey, I'm sleepy. He's back to his own faculties. Now you go when he's in that bed and you get a little bit of oil. Huh? And you anoint him. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I command that this body come back to the authority of God. Flesh, humanistic body, I command you to submit to the order of God in Jesus' name. Right. And then you tell him, baby, sleep like a baby. And watch the power of God work. Stand back and see the glory of God. Because you know that you're fighting against a spirit. See, Job knew that he was fighting against a spirit. Because the enemy comes trying to deceive us. He'll even disguise himself as an angel of light. I rebuke myself. How do you know that I'm not an angel of light? Disguise. I rebuke me. You can say from there, I rebuke you just in case. You don't know. Do you know that? You don't know if I'm a liar, adulterer. I'm looking at your beautiful eyes. You don't know. So what happens? That you got to be able to test everything that comes out. The Word of God tells us, test the spirits. We have to be real. We got to be watchful. It's good to praise and glorify God, but listen to the Word. Listen what's coming out. There's a lot of deceivers coming out in these last days. There's going to be a great revival where God is going to start to take the masks off those that are not for real. There's a revival coming. It ain't a revival to get more money. The money's going to come. We don't have to tell the people, give us till it hurts, because the Bible don't say that. Give with a cheerful heart. It don't say give up till it hurts. Give up till you can't pay your rent and you can't pay your bills. And you give everything and then later on they're dispossessing. They tell you, just believe in God. But you got enough money to pay all your bills. So it's easy for you to believe in God. But because you've done it with a good heart and we all have good intentions, God is always there to try to help us. There was this lady in New York on 156th Street in Fox. Lovely lady in God. But a minister came into the church and held a revival. And she went home and got all her money, her rent money, her light money, her food money for the month, everything she had. And then the minister said, if you give to God, give with a sacrifice. Give until it hurts. you're going to be able to be blessed. And she went and she got all her money. And she came and she put it in because she believed God. She believed the man of God. A week went by, she didn't have money to pay her rent. The following week, she lost her job. Next month, she didn't have money to pay her rent. She couldn't pay her lights. And she said, but God said that he will bless me. No, God didn't say that. The man said that. The man manipulated. He didn't use the word. God said that he will bless a cheerful giver. When you give to God with an open heart, knowing that God has put it in your heart, God will bless you. God has blessed me in many different areas, many times. Sometimes the Lord says, give all you got. And I look at my pocket, I got $300. And give it all. I said, let me test the spirit. Let me test the spirit. And I said, okay. So now, I said, Lord, is it your will? And I hear this little whisper that I always hear. Says, I said, okay. I give it. I come home and sometimes I told my wife, sometimes I don't tell her. She may think I'm some fool or something sometimes. But I give it. All of a sudden, people that wanted to send me some money or money that I lend out, all of a sudden it just starts coming in. God starts sending it in. You see, because God will bless you. When you learn to give to God, you become a blessing. If you don't learn to give to God, you'll always be cursed. You'll have a poverty mentality. And you know when there's power? When there's strength. So if I give you, and I give you this other half, they both got, right? They both got 50 cents apiece. And I ask you, can you buy a soda for me? I'm hungry, haven't had anything. Could you buy me a soda? Could you buy me a soda with that? No. And I come to you, could you buy me a soda with that? No. So now, I come to you, and you're sitting together, and you say, well, I can't buy him a soda alone. So what would you do? In unity, there's power. The church is that body. When there's a need in the church comes together to supply the need, to bless your brother, to bless your sister, to bless those that are hungry. Don't pray for what you could do. The things you have, use that. Let God bless you. Don't allow the devil to tell you just pray. No, it ain't time to pray. It's time to go to your kitchen and pull out what you need and pull out from another house and from another house and bring a big box and say, here's food for a month. It ain't time to pray. The devil will tell you to pray. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Prayer brings you an answer. Prayer gives you results. Job knew that. That is why we got to walk under the anointment of God. The anointment is knowledge, is wisdom, is understanding, is love, is compassion. Do you think that the church has that today? When a person makes a mistake and the devil knocks him down and the devil puts him in spiritual prison, everybody, oh, he's an adulterer. That Jimmy Swagger, he was good, but look at him now. Don't you know that that's your brother? Don't you know that the enemy just arrested him and brought him down? That tomorrow it could be you? Don't you know that you got to pray and take that spirit that has come around him and cast it out and say, Lord, release him in the name of Jesus. And you know what God's going to tell you? I didn't put him in prison. Why are you telling me? You got to tell the devil to release him because the devil was the one who got him. If you know who the thief is, you go to the police department and say, hey, Tom robbed my house. Go get him. And they send out the police and they go in there, arrest him and bring him in. So why would you go to God and tell him, Lord, you arrest him. You don't even know who he is. I know the thief, and God gave me authority. I'm going to go get him arrested and get my stuff back. And if he took my wife and he took my children, he took whoever he took, I want them back. I'm going to say, you know what? Release what's mine. I'm going to try to finish this up. But I want you to go home with a new understanding that greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. I want you to know that Jesus is on a mission to set us all free. Chapter 11 of 2 of Corinthians. So I'm going to 1 of Corinthians. He's my cousin. Praise be to God. 2 of Corinthians, chapter 11. You love this verse anyway. And verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent begot Eve throughout subtlety. Look at this. Now, think about Eve. Eve was a woman that was living in perfection. Didn't know sin. Sin was not in her. But sin is in you. And you and I are of the fallen nature. And the enemy was able to what? To deceive her. Thank God for mercy and grace. Thank God for mercy and grace. And God bless the women. So God, you know, we're always blaming you, poor ladies. We blame you for everything. The food ain't right, we blame you. The laundry ain't right, we blame you. If we snore, we blame you. God bless you, ladies. You could take it. You could take it. You are very special. God made you of a special form. He made you out of my rib. So God made you so special because man was lonely, had a problem. And God said, it ain't good for man to be alone. That's a terrible thing. Because man can't live with you and can't live without you. But when that woman is renewed and that man is renewed into the principles of God, there's paradise. There's joy. There's love. And the human blessing that we get and the seeds that we bring into this world come out of unadulterated love. Come out of the anointment of the living God that has made us to breathe and to bring children into this world that are holy and blessed unto the glory of His name. There ain't nothing greater than that. That's why the Lord says, from the seed of a woman will man be saved. So us men, we got a little step back and we got to step back a little. We didn't have nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. It was God and Mary. But thank God that He was a man like you and I. God brought us back to take back the crown that was taken from Adam. Blessed be the Lord. The crown that was taken from him. And God is going to put a fight. And He's going to go down to the pit of hell. Jesus, the man. And walk in there, knock down the doors of hell. And bring out captivity. And tell us, you have the power now. I give you authority over all the principalities. You are God's man. And next to us, there's a great woman. Not behind her. I don't want my wife behind me. I want my wife right next to me. That's a world saying. Behind every great man, there's a great woman. I don't want her behind me. Somebody may take her. I want her right here, right next to me. That I could walk with her, right? I like to walk with her. Underneath the arm and say, come on, baby, let's go. And people are looking. I like to hold her hand and walk with her and say, blessed be God, that ever God gave me. And I want to get real, real old and real wrinkled. Walk, come here, baby, let's go. That's what I want. God may not allow that. But you see, it is my dream, my hope. Because God created that so that we may be blessed, so that we may be happy. Because we were not happy alone. So God said, let me create something. But the devil is always on a mission trying to destroy that. And he sneaked into the garden. In that same chapter, straight down to verse 14. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Ain't that something? He goes into the garden thinking he's all that. He didn't have no horns, no tail. Because if Eve would have seen him with horns and tails, she would have run. I would run if I see him with horns and tails. Maybe I close my eyes and say, the Lord rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you. It's a terrible thing to see ugliness. And he's been disfigured. The grace and the love of God has been taken from him. Do you know when a person comes to God, he shines, he is transformed through the power of God. When I was in the world, I was serious in my faith. And I would walk. When I came to the Lord relaxed my muscles and relaxed my walk. The girl says, he looks tough, he looks okay. But now they say, oh, he looks good. Because God makes us look good. Did you know that? I'm telling you, He puts a sweet savor in us. We have a smile before we hardly didn't smile. We were overprotected. But now we could smile because we know that God is with us. And He can't take what God has already given us. I'm telling you, believe it, trust in it. Let me finish this up. Look at the time it's going. My God, and any more of those spirits left around, let me see. Let me take a good look around here. Because I catch some Christians that they look like they've been sucking on a lemon. And then they say they got the joy of the Lord. If somebody sees them coming out of church, they run. because they have no joy in their faith. They have this big Bible and they walk around and it looks like they're going to beat you with the Bible. Because the love is not there. The grace is not there. The compassion for the soul is not there. But I'm looking. It looks good. Okay, let me see. But I got to make sure that there's not one sneaking around here somewhere. Make sure that he's not underneath the bench somewhere. We don't want to take him home. Look at that beautiful smile that young lady got. Praise God, you see? That's what I like to see. I'm watching you. I got you. You're good. Okay. But the blessing of God and the joy of the Lord tears down the strongholds of Satan. Because God is the joy of what? Of my salvation. When you're filled of the joy of God, the devil can't come around you. When trouble comes, it's time to start singing. I sing bad, but it sounds sweet to the Lord. And he don't want to hear that. What was that again? Make a joyful noise. Amen. Amen. But just make noise. All right. Let us come because I want to see. See, I don't have to touch you. I like when the Holy Spirit touches a person. I had praying for my mother and my father for 15 years. Thank God that my father went home 12 years back with the Lord and saved, sanctified. My mother is saved, sanctified. My brothers, but before they were saved, they were into witchcraft. And they call it white magic. I call it witchcraft. White, black, yellow, whatever it may be, is witchcraft. And I was praying and praying and praying for over 9 years for them. My father was a Mercer Marine, and he traveled all over the world. Go to Africa, he brings back these big dolls they call Madama. He went to Haiti, brought another one. It's funny because they were all black with a big turban on their head, like, okay? He goes to Cuba, he brings back another one. They look like cousins or sisters. He had an altar. And I said, wow, that's my family, my descendants. And I'm praying and asking God to deliver him. And I said, Pop, but what's that one for? He said, that's the one for good luck. I said, but that one looks like that one. And that what's that one for? He said, that's the one for protection. She came first. I said, but they look the same size. He said, shut up, boy. He brings the other one. And I said, what's that one for? He said, that's the one that's going to protect all of you that ain't protecting me. Here, she ain't protecting me. And my brothers come in and they say, Poppy, they're going to protect us too. I said, you guys better shut up. You better stop praying. You don't know what you're playing with. Then they had water. Then they had rice. But they forgot the beans. You know, Hispanics like rice and beans. And they would feed her and they would put money in there. They wouldn't give me money for ice cream. Or my younger brothers, but they would put money there. So my brothers used to come and sneak the money out. But this went on for years, and one night I'm praying, and I'm getting into the bed, and I get down on my knees, and I say, Lord, bless my family. Set them free, Lord. I preach and preach, and sometimes they go to revivals, and they hear this, and they wouldn't pay attention. But that night, God spoke to me in a whisper on my right ear. He says, the phone is going to ring. And your mother's going to be on the other side. And she's going to ask you to borrow the car. And I said, what? I said, okay. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, Lord, thank you. Lay me down to go to sleep in peace. The phone said, ring. Disturb my peace. Hello. Says, hijo. I mean, son. ¿Cómo tú estás? How are you? And I said, Mom, I'm okay. How you doing? She says, I need you to do me a favor. And I said, yes, Mom. I need you to lend me the car tomorrow. And I said, Mom, where are you going? She says, I can't tell you. I said, Mom, you know that car belongs to God before it belongs to me. And I only use it for the work and the glory and honor of God. And she says, I need you to lend me the car. And I said, okay, Mom. The word of God says, honor your father and your mother. You're my mommy. So I said, I'll see you in the morning. I hung up. And when I'm going to bed, the Lord says, Get up tomorrow morning fasting and praying. Because they're going to go to visit a house of witchcraft. And I said, what? He said, you heard. So in the morning, I get up, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm out the house by 7:30. I'm in prayer. I get to their house in the Bronx, a couple of blocks away from me, and I walk in and I ask my mom, where are you going? She said, I can't tell you because you'll get mad. I said, Mom, I don't get mad. And I said, Mom, where are you going? She says, go ask your father. So I go ask my father, Pop, where are you going? He says, I can't tell you. I said, okay. Since you don't want to tell me, I'm going to tell you because I want you to know that there's a prophet in your house. And God told me that you're going to the house of abomination, a house of witchcraft. And he looked, and they looked at me like if I was crazy. God opened up my spiritual eyes, and I saw a block of cement on their heart. In Puerto Rico, there's a cement called Ponce cement. It is the hardest cement out. And that's what God showed me, like a column on both of their hearts. So I felt the presence of God, and I told him, listen, I can't go to this place, and I shouldn't go, but I'm going to take you. Because you're going to know that God is the Lord, and that you don't need to go nowhere but get rid of all this junk and serve God, and God will turn everything around. And then my little mama's like that, 4'11", about 75 pounds wet, but she thinks she's 7 feet tall. We get in the car, and I go from the Bronx over to Brooklyn. It's about an hour and 20-minute drive to where we're going. And I'm in the car, I'm preaching to them and explaining to them, quoting the scriptures to them. I'm going all over the scriptures, and they're sitting there. And I'm trying to shut up, but I can't shut up. I got to keep on. I get to Brooklyn, I park in front of a building. When I park in front of that building, they get out the car, they go in the building. I said, I'll wait for you here, because I'm not going up there. It was June 18th, 1974. And as I'm sitting there in the car, you know when there are a lot of people in the car and it's hot, that sometimes your glass gets all foggy? Nobody was in the car. My car was over and all the glasses got foggy in a moment, like that, like something magic. And I looked around. And my handkerchief was on the shit like that, and I looked, and God spoke to me and says, white signifies purity, holiness. Pick up that handkerchief and clean the windows and rebuke the airs in my name. Picked it up and I said, in Jesus' name, right now, Lord, I rebuke the air and everything that is in it. And I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. To set you free. And all of a sudden, like magic, and things like, and it cleared up. Never happened again. But it happened that time. My mother and my father have walked into the apartment. The ladies in the back doing some kind of a reading for somebody else. And the lady comes running out and says to my mother, who are you with? My mother said, my husband and I. She said, no, who else is with you? My father said, we're here. She said, no, there's somebody else with you. And then my mother said, my oldest son that is downstairs waiting for us, that he brought us. And the lady looked at her and said, please get out of here. Because I can't do nothing for you. One of my spirit guides tried to go into the car. That means a demon. Tried to go into the car and it couldn't get in. And the message that it brought back to the table, that with that young man was the Prince of Peace. That man got more power than me. Get out of here. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hey, wonderful Jesus. God breaks the chain. That's why I preach deliverance. He delivered my mommy. He delivered my father. When they came down, they were not the same. When they came into the car, they told me the story. They went home. They got the one, the second, and the third, and all the other junk, and we took it and burned it. And God set them free. Hallelujah. God set them free. Hallelujah. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Let me tell you. And I'm trying to finish. Could you give me a couple of minutes? Amen. When that happened, and they threw everything out, the poverty spirit left the house. The fighting spirit and the arguments left the house. Peace started to enter into the house. My father got a pension from the army that was back, Lord, for over 45 years. Gave him $295,000. They gave him a pension from the Mercer Marine for $150,000. There was land that belonged to us in Puerto Rico. There was a calling land of nobody because they didn't know who it belonged to. He went down. He said, I used to live here. They went. The deed was still under their hand. Got the land. Hallelujah. And God built houses for them over there. God started to move. Started to break the poverty curse that was in the family. Because my family were wealthy. But because of a curse that was put on my grandfather, hallelujah, they lost everything through witchcraft. But God was restoring back what the locusts had taken. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm telling you. Whatever belongs to you and the devil has taken, he got to give it back. Whatever 1,000 years back, he got to give it back. There are many of us that have wealth and don't even know it. We got to take it back in the name of Jesus. You know, when Job went through the trial, he came back and God gave him more wealth, more blessing. The kids that he had were beautiful. He gave him more kids, beautiful, gorgeous children. And it's the first diary that you find in the scripture that a woman got a diary. That got money. Because in the Old Testament, they wouldn't give it to women. But God made an exception. Because God is a God of changes. He's a God of new things. And we're heading for a new thing, as my sister said before. There's a new blessing coming to the churches. There's no more black churches or white churches or Spanish churches. There's just people serving God together as one under one blood. Blessed be the living God. And listen, I'm trying to finish. I am really trying to finish. But to show you how the Lord works. You may not invite me back, but that's okay. I'll be back anyway. I went with my wife, and her mother was in witchcraft. And we went to buy a house. When we still live, my wife says, we were praying for her. And we go to this house. And when I looked at the house, the outside of the house looked like it was possessed. I want to know that there are properties and houses that are possessed. When you take something or buy something, make sure you pray for it. Make sure you consecrate the earth. Consecrate everything that you get. When you go in there to buy, before you go in there, before you put your money down, make sure that you pray. Don't put your money down on an object that is cursed. Wait till God tells you that it has been released and been taken back from the enemy's hands. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. When we went in there, we started to look up and I said, wow. I told my wife, stay in meditation, stay in prayer. Claim the blood of Christ. Ask for the angels of protection to come around us. We walk into the house. The house, I wasn't going to buy it even before I walked in. But you could feel the air was stiff. And you could feel that there was a foreign presence there. And as I'm walking into the house, and they show me the house, I'm saying, I don't like this house. I ain't buying this. And my wife and I, we want to be right because my mother-in-law is there. And I'm praying for her too, that her spirits don't touch any of us. So we walk in there. She's in a bed, laying in a bed. And we're looking. I tell my wife, stay in prayer. So I'm talking to the lady back and forth. I come to find out that the lady was a witch. And that her daughter had converted to Jesus. And that the reason that she was paralyzed in the bed because somebody sent back a spirit that was returned back that she had sent to cripple somebody else. And the other one had more power, sent her back and crippled her. And she was in a bed crippled. So as I'm standing there, I'm always saying, Lord, I claim the blood of Christ upon me. I'm redeemed. I'm under the new covenant. I have authority. But I'm saying this in my mind. And as I'm praying, the woman looks up at me. And looks at my wife and she goes, opens up her eyes and says, why are you rebuking me? Now, I didn't say a word. But the power of God that is there, they try to infiltrate your mind. But because the protection of God and you got the mind of God, they can't come in. If I didn't have the mind of God, she would have possessed me. I would have bought that house and whatever else she had. And I'd be walking around like, I would have to find someone to take the hits on me. That's how real that is. And she just yelled and screamed. She said, what did I do to you? Why are you rebuking me? I looked at her and said, I didn't say anything. And she said, yes, you did. You almost burst my eardrums when you rebuked me. And I said, blessed be the name of God. My wife had an experience at that moment. You know, I tell her, may the peace of God be with you. May God set you free. And I'm on my way out. My mother-in-law gets a call later on. She says, that man is more of a spiritualist than I am. And I said, what? I rebuke her in the name of Jesus. But then I remember that my mother used to tell me that same thing. You know why? Because there's a spirit that lives in me, called the Holy Spirit of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Watch it now. There it comes. Woo! Glory to God. The Holy Spirit, the living God that lives in you. He has authority over every spirit, every demon, everything that is there. And he has rule over the billions of spirits that are out there. One spirit rules them all. Because he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Do you understand me today? Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the power that you have in you. You can make it work. Unleash it right now in the name of the Lord. Believe it and trust that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a non-changing God, baby. You understand that? He's a non-changing God. Your blessing is coming. That poverty spirit that is trying to keep you back is going to go in the name of Jesus. Tap your head and say, it's gone. He's gone in the name of Jesus. That burden became your blessing. To break the curse, a financial curse. She was going to rip off her burden to put it into the offering. And God told me, don't let her rip off the burden. Give her $10. So I gave her the $10. That ain't my offering, it's God's. I guarantee you I get back a million more. A million tens. Whenever I need them. It makes no difference. Because God is the one that is going to be able to bless us. He's going to bring the healing to your family. He's going to bring deliverance that you have never ever experienced in your life. You're going to see the glory of God bringing healing from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Because those spirits cannot reign in your life no more and in your family tree. They don't belong there. It is a curse that comes from the past. And that curse got to go in Jesus' name because you are a daughter of God. Hear me now, spirit. I command you in the name of Jesus. Come out. You don't belong there no more. I command you to leave her body right now. I command you to leave her body because I know that her soul is blessed. I know that her soul has joy, but you have no more authority over her body. In Jesus' name. Now bless her and everyone in her family. In the name of Jesus, I call it done to the glory of your name. God is able. God is able. I'm a son of kingdom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo, glory! God is reaching down to your family tree and bringing out all those curses of sickness and depression that dwells in that family tree. Tell me if it ain't true or not. Blessed be God, because God is your Savior and you're alive because He loves you and because you love Him and He has protected you through all the trials and tribulations, all the pain. But I want you to know that it's over now in the name of Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Because God is able. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He will never forsake us. Don't take the message of the enemy. Believe and trust in God. I want to finish again. I want to finish. I really do. But there's something that's boiling over in my stomach for some reason or another. I feel like God wants to continue to work. Because that young lady back there, she needs love for God. There is a love that God wants to put into your spirit. She asked me the other morning, she said, how can I learn to love? You already know how to love. Just release it. Because you got the Spirit of God in you. And the Spirit of God is love. But the spirit of the enemy tries to play with your mind and with your human emotions. So allow you to feel no love. That you don't care. But you care. Because there's love. And I'm going to release your mind in the name of Jesus. and let that flow from your heart into your mind, from the crown of your head all over your body. But you're going to have love with understanding, love with knowledge, love that is going to make the right decisions. You see, sometimes you got to make tough decisions, but that's still love. When you start to realize that decisions you make because God guides you, they're in love. God loved us so much, He made the greatest decision in the heavens. The decision that He made was to send His Son into this world to die for us. That's love. No greater love. When that love manifests in us that is already there, we're going to open up the channels. We're going to open them up, and they're just going to overflow your life with love. Your eyes are going to project love. Your whole body is going to project love. Not love of sexual love. It's a love that surpasses all human understanding. It is the love of the Spirit of God that you are able to love those that don't like you, those that hate you, whether they're family, friends, whoever they may be. But they're going to see that there's something in you that is different. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, as I put the finger of God towards you, I say in Jesus' name, I break every spirit and every power of hell that has come to you trying to abuse your love. I call it out in the name of Jesus. I call it out in the name of Jesus. Right now, Holy Spirit, fill her with your love. But love that gives birth to understanding. Love that gives birth, O Lord God, to compassion. Love with wisdom, Father, in Jesus' name. Be thou made whole to the glory of His name. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. You need to receive the promises of God for your life. Because there's a love that runs through your hearts. But there's a battle that comes. It's not your battle. It's the enemy that's battling against your soul and against your blessings. It's not even yours because it comes from your ancestors, from your father's line. And that is always trying to stop you. Because you have a love for God and a love for your family and a love for everybody else. But there's a spirit that has always come in between the blessing that is there. That spirit got to go in the name of Jesus. And that comes from your family side. And we're going to break that in the name of Jesus. Because you don't deserve to live with hurt. Your family don't deserve to live with hurt. That spirit got to go. And we're going to release that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Because we have authority to do that. You believe that? You believe that? How much do you love God? How much do you love God? Amen. You're willing to believe that the doors of hell cannot have victory over you anymore and over your home. We're going to grab your wife's hand. Father God, I come against the spiritual curses that have come upon this family, that have come, O Lord God, from the past. Up the family tree. Hear me, spirits of torment. Hear me and obey me right now in the name of Jesus. I pull you out of the air right now. I pull you out from around them right now. You have no more authority over them. You have been destroying their emotions. You have been destroying their feelings. Right now, Holy Spirit of the living God, I come against the tormenting spirit that comes around them. Hear me in the name of Jesus. I bind you right now in Jesus' name and cast you out to outer darkness. Father God, I summon your angels to come right now. Be all around them, Father. Let them see your glory. Let the Holy Spirit, O Lord God, indwell in them and their family. Father, in Jesus' name, I call it done to the glory of your name. I'm going to close up with a prayer for the children, but I don't really want to close up because there's a lot of need. Do you know that there's a lot of hurt right here? It's a lot of hurt. Spirits that have been tormenting men that want to serve God, that are following them. There's a man, that gentleman right there behind you with the hand up here. The enemy's been trying to destroy you for a long time, hasn't he? He plays with your emotions, with your feelings. But do you know that God loves you more than you love Him? Right now, God is in the midst, trying to bring you. You know why you're not dead? Because God loves you. God has been with you in many dangerous situations. He has tried to take your life many a times. He wants to see you destroyed in alcoholism. He wants to see you destroyed living that life out there, sleeping in the streets. But God loves you. That spirit got to go in the name of Jesus. It doesn't belong. It's a vagabond spirit. Got to go. It doesn't belong there. You are God's chosen child. God has protected you. So that spirit can't live there anymore. God is going to make you a new man. A new person. You're not even going to know yourself. God is going to look straight into your heart and pull out from your heart that spirit that is there. Stand up in a moment in the name of the Lord. Stand up. Just rise to your foot. God is ready. God is ready. I'm going to summon the angels to come all about you. Because you have had a hard battle. Since you were a young man, you've been fighting this battle. But you know that God loves you, do you not? Yes, He does. He loves you, but you know what you've been going through is not your fault. That's also a family curse that's been all around you. It has been trying to knock you down, but for some reason or another, God has chosen you and loved you, because if not, you wouldn't be here right now. And God doesn't care where we were born, how we were born. What He cares is that He loves you and that He knows that you have a heart for God. But I'm going to tell that spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. He doesn't belong there. You're supposed to prosper and be a blessing to yourself and to everyone you meet in your journey through life. You're supposed to have money, but the enemy has stolen it. We want to take that and bind that in the name of Jesus and believe it, and God is going to restore your wealth. God is going to restore your soul. That is the greatest riches that we could have. And then He's going to give you everything that the enemy has taken. Father God, in the name of Jesus, and I point the finger of God to Him, oh Lord God, is your finger, is your hand, Lord God. I speak to the spirits around Him, Lord, that are trying to destroy Him and bring Him down. I speak to those spirits, oh Lord, of destruction, in the name of Jesus. Listen to me now. Spirits of destruction, of alcoholism, of poverty, listen to me. Obey me in the name of Jesus. I command you to set them loose in Jesus' name. Tell them to go. Tell them to go. Go. Tell them go in the name of Jesus. That's all. Tell them to go. I'm not your property no more. I am God's property. I am a servant of God. Redeemed with the blood of Christ. Restored to His glory. Because I was born for His glory. Tell Him, I was born for the glory of God. I am His son. And I receive that in Jesus' name. Father God, anoint him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Right now, Lord God, build a hedge around him where the enemy can't touch him no more. In Jesus' name. What's your name, my brother? Wayne. May God, Dwayne. May God bless you, and may the Spirit of the living God be with you and your loved ones. God bless you. God bless. I want to pray for the children. And I close up. I apologize for being long-winded today. Thank you. Thank you. I try to follow protocol according to what's there, but when the Spirit of God, I feel His presence, I have no respect for myself or for anything else. Because I don't want you to go home. And then I would have to go home and pay the consequences for disobeying God. I would rather fall in the hands of God than fall in the hands of man. But I don't want you to continue to suffer. I know that there is victory. And I know that one day God is going to permit me to come back and have a revival with us. I feel that God is moving me out, even out of my church where I'm very comfortable. With two congregations, with many work that I'm doing, but God has spoken to my spirit. And I'm going to prepare my ministers there to take over and just minister in the church. I thought that I was going to be doing that for the rest of my life. But God had told me that in my last years, He was going to move me out and start evangelizing all over again. In my young age, from the age of 18 till about 25, God had me evangelizing all over the United States, the Caribbean. And then I stopped and started pastoring, counseling, radio programs. But I had had a vision that God was going to bring me, in my last days, my hair gets a little bit whiter, that God was going to start to move me into different range. I thought that at this moment I would say, I stay home in my church. My church is a blessing. My people are a blessing. But I think that the Lord is opening up new doors. And I feel that God has brought me here and meet my brothers for a reason. They've been a blessing to me for whatever. I don't know how God moved, but they're like my father. my pastors. And I give them respect because that's what the Lord says. I'm in their house, so I have had their children, my wife and my children. So I just want to pray and close up by praying for the children, because there's an attack on children. And if we could put the right seed in the heart of a child, he'll be a great man and a great woman. God will be able to make a difference, because God is in the business of blessing children. If they're not blessed, we have the wrong society. Not a living. Yeah, please. My wife asked me if I want to bring them over. If you don't mind, I'd like to have the children come up. Is it okay? Praise God. In my church, I have the children come up. Angela, could you come with the children, please? My daughter Angela has been a blessing in our church with the children. God has used her teaching the children, praying with the children, singing with the children. We have an after-school program that we use. We have a daycare that we bring kids. We created that to help the mothers that couldn't pay daycare because it was so expensive. So what we've done, we created a program for $35 a week. But that created a job for two other people. I don't want the money for myself. I said, we'll create a job and we pay two people and some volunteers that come in and we take care for 7 years. God has set the children free because they pray for them. They anoint them and they help them. They tutor them in the name of the Lord, so that they could be a blessing. There were children that they said they will never succeed. Today they graduate and go to college. They said that they will never learn. And God has helped that. God has revealed to me to have the parents anoint the children while they sleep, because they get nightmares. Nightmares are attacks from the enemy. And God has set them free. And I believe in a prayer for a child. You know why I'm here? Because my grandmommy prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. Hey, God bless you. When I came in, that's the first people I saw was these two young ladies. Yes? And every time I drive by young people, I always extend my hand and say, Lord, bless them in the blessed name of Jesus. How old are you? 7 years old? How? Six? Praise God. How old are you? Seven. Oh, my God. You're big for seven? That's a blessing. Amen. Angela, would you get the oil and would you anoint them, please? In the name of the Lord. We ready to pray? You got grandchildren and children somewhere? Put them into your heart right now. Put them into your heart. How old are you? How old are you? 8? Praise God. And you? 10. Praise be to God. He's turning 11 tomorrow. Wow, you must be part of my family. I got four kids that are born in September. Because I'm one of them too. I'm September 26th, she's September the 9th. My older daughter is September the 3rd. My other daughter is September the 29th. Praise be to God. Anoint them all in the name of the Lord. Are you ready to pray? We pray like if they're your family. And at the same time, you pray for those that are your family. But when you see somebody in your neighborhood that comes into your mind, a child, family, you pray for them also. Because if you pray for somebody else, God will bless your family. God will bless your family. Because you're not selfish. You want everybody's children to be saved. If you see they're bad and they're not acting right, don't criticize them. Just pray that God may cast that spirit out. Because any bad word or counsel that you bring will bring a curse to you too. And remember, we have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Blessed be God. Okay, we're getting ready to pray. And in this prayer, I'll end. Spirits attack children. Many of the things that we have done in our lives is because the enemy attacked us while we were children. And he was living around us and in us. And we were damaged goods. But God's mercy and love has come to set us free. Sometimes we never done anything. We never drank, we never smoked, we never cursed. But we had the worst spirit out, a self-righteous spirit, that we condemn everybody and anything. And we were walking around with that little spirit since we were young. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord. We got to cast that one out in the name of the Lord. So you're going to help me pray. And in that prayer, I'm going to pray for you because you were a child one day too. So was I. And the Lord said, let the little children come unto me, because theirs is the kingdom of God. We're going to go back to our parents' womb and be set free in the name of Jesus. You want to take a little trip with me? Because I want to go back. All right. Blessed be God. There we go. Father God, in the blessed name of your holy Son, Jesus. Father God, we were created in iniquity, in sin. Lord God, we go back to the womb in the blessed name of your Son. Where you saw us, O Lord, and the enemy was trying to destroy our emotions, even when we were in our parents' womb. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, every spirit, O Lord, that has hurt our emotions, our feelings, even while we were in the womb, I come against it. In the blessed name of your Holy Son, our Savior, our Deliverer. Father God, as we come to the channel of birth in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, that you bring your angels, O Lord, position them around the womb, O Lord God, and let each and every one of us that have come into this life, Lord God, be delivered. Let us continue to grow in grace and not in disgrace, Lord God. Father God, I bind the powers to be that were around each and every one of us that have been born into this world. Father, and I set loose your Holy Spirit. Father God, I invite your angels. Father, and as we have grown and matured, I pray that your Holy Spirit, that your angels may reach us at this age, O Lord, and bring us, Almighty God, into your glory and into your blessing. In the blessed name of Jesus, hear me now. Spirits of destruction and deception that were there at birth, I come against you. In the name of Jesus, spirit of hate and pain and suffering, I come against you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave right now. Holy Spirit of the living God, bless these children right now. Let their blessing be that their emotions be healed. Let it be, O Lord God, that they receive love that surpasses all human understanding. Your love, the agape love. Heal us, O Lord. And together, we will praise you and bless you for all that you have done, because without you, there is nothing that we could do. In whose name? In whose name? In whose name? In whose name? In Jesus' name, let it be done to the glory and honor of God. God bless, and may the peace of God be with us.
This is the end of this. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.